Seriously, how'd you guys let me beat you on that one? Come on. There's no liars in this game. Just players.
The seat taken?
Nobody's in the seat that I ain't taking, friend.
So this is, Sabak?
Sabak.
Sabak. Got it.
You played before?
A couple times, yeah.
Captain Lando Calrissian.
Han Solo.
Looks like you're, having a good day.
I'm a lucky guy.
Can I ask you a question, Captain Calrissian?
Anything, Han.
It's Han, but that's okay. I heard a, story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
And that's a clip from Solo, a Star Wars story, an origin story for Han Solo. And I've been hearing a lot of negative things about this, I'm afraid. Ron, but you saw it and you enjoyed it.
I really did. I mean, I felt coming out of this movie a little bit like I did the first time I saw a Star Wars movie. There's a little wonder, there's a little magic, there's a little old-fashioned cowboy western feel to it. And I think I'll give credit to Ron Howard, because he's not necessarily a big action set piece director. He's more character, and I thought they did a great job with the characters, and they introduce Woody Harrelson's character. They introduce Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. They introduce Emilia Clarke as his Han's love interest here, and it's the first time Han and Chewie meet, the Chewbacca character, which was the best duo in the movie in terms of their relationship and how it progresses throughout the film. So I thought they did a really good job with character. I wasn't crazy about Alden Ehrenreich, as his name is Han Solo. He's no Harrison Ford, but and no one is. But I really thought the whole mix worked really well, and I had a really good feeling about it.
Well, and some of the criticism that I'm reading is Alden Ehrenreich might be what caused the problems in terms of the production problems. That's what I've heard rumors of this.
Well, you know, the Ron Howard replaced a couple of guys that were shooting the movie, and there were creative differences between that directing team and Kathleen Kennedy, who's always been part of the Lucasfilm, Lucasfilm's producer crowd, and so she's was protecting the brand and did not think the other guys were doing a good job, and brought Ron Howard in to be a conservative choice, essentially. And that's what this movie does, much to the critics' chagrin, is they didn't take any chances. They didn't go outside the formula. They followed sort of a story by numbers here. But they had Lawrence Kasdan writing the thing, along with his...
Who wrote Return of the Jedi, the second one, Empire right. Strikes Back, which is one of the best written Star Wars movies.
Yeah, and several others, and all the Indiana Jones movies, and he's directed his own stuff, and he's a great writer and brought a good story here, even though it was by the numbers. That's kind of what I wanted. I mean, it's like people were criticizing Deadpool for 2 for being the same movie as Deadpool 1. It did $125 million this weekend. That's kind of what people want. And I was really enjoyed Solo. It was very well done.
Well, this is one of the films that's in the past in terms of the mythos of Star Wars.
Right.
The film that came out last December is a part of the ongoing.
Yes.
So how do you compare them to this film to like the what you would say the official Star Wars movies?
Right. And it's clearly a spinoff. It is not an episode. It does not get as big and wide as those do with the whole rebellion and the Empire, although there's seeds of that in this movie. It's just more about these characters before they got to what we've learned about them in the episode. So it was a much smaller scale. In many ways, it was a caper picture because Woody Harrelson's running this little gang thing and they're trying to get the coaxium and sell it to buy their spaceship of their dreams. You know, it's really a simple plot line than all of this huge set pieces of the universe being, you know, threatened and so forth. And I got a big kick out of Ron Howard, the way he stages is action. It's not a, they're not fight scenes. They're chase scenes, right? I get tired of this default into fighting and weaponry and all that. These were more fun chases. That's what I liked about this movie.
Well, it sounds like this is a, this, you know, if you just want a space movie,
right,
an adventure.
Yep. Exactly.
It starts and there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then it's over with.
Right. And room for a sequel, of course. And it's a mild PG-13, Scott. I certainly didn't hear any bad words. I mean, there's the usual science fiction action and violence, but it's good for your older kids. And I saw a lot of kids in the IMAX 3D version I watched last night.
Before we see you again on Wednesday, A Chance in the World is opening. Tell us about this.
Yeah, true story of a young man who's broken and wounded, and he's been in foster life his whole life. He's mentally and physically tortured by his foster parents and siblings, and it's really about him finding himself. He's got African-American roots, but a very Polish-sounding name, and it's really one of those feel-good stories. With no big stars in it, but A Chance in the World, Wednesday, May 30 at 8 p.m., playing at Celebration Rivertown for one night only.
Also a special feature, Iron Giant Signature Edition. And this is a movie that came out many years ago.
Exactly, and it keeps coming back. It's a cool animated movie. It's certainly got a cult following. Directed by Brad Bird, who went on to make many movies for Pixar. It's got celebrity voices like Harry Connick Jr., Vin Diesel, Jennifer Aniston, and some really cool animation in it. And that's one night only. Again, Wednesday, May 30 at 7 o'clock at Grand Rapids North at Celebration North for that one night.
And tell us why there is this re-release in the signature edition.
I really don't know why Fathom comes up with some of these titles to supply us. Sometimes there are anniversaries. Sometimes there's just new footage. Anyway, this Iron Giant thing is periodically shows up, and you know, it actually was featured quite well, prominently in Ready Player One with Steven Spielberg's movie. It's had a lot of influence on a lot of people.
All right, Deadpool 2 at the top of the box office, Avengers Infinity War staying there, hanging in at number 2. No real surprises here.
No, those are the big three this weekend. And counter-programming includes Book Club, which came in third place last weekend. Show Dogs for the families. That's the PG movie with the talking dogs. Life of the Party, Breaking In, Overboard, A Quiet Place, Rampage, I Feel Pretty, all holding over. And, of course, it'd be a nice weekend to go to the drive-in theater. Scott, over in Muskegon, Argetti Drive-In has Solo, Deadpool, Show Dogs, Avengers, all his first features. So, it looks like it's going to be a pretty weekend.
Now, number 8 in the box office, still in there, A Quiet Place. And I read an article yesterday online about how this has just been hanging in there,
yeah,
and continuing to rack up change.
Yeah, and it probably stays a couple more weeks here, even though Paramount's got a couple movies and they may lose some of their screens. It's all already over $176 million in the box office. Nobody predicted that. It's great to see those sleepers break out.
All right, well, thanks for joining us.
See you at the movies.